I love the field recording part in there. Nice day to go to the pub. Das waren die Cosmic Psychos auf Flux FM. Und ihr könnt euch freuen, die Australier spielen heute Abend im Crystal Club und werden dort ein weiteres Mal ihre True School Punk Show auf die Bühne bringen. Seit 30 Jahren und ein bisschen mehr existiert die unkaputtbare Band, die man durchaus ja als Miterfinder des Grunge-Genres nennen darf und deren Sänger Ross nach wie vor hauptberuflich Farmer ist. Wir quatschen über die Gegenwart und Vergangenheit der Band. Wir sprechen über Vor- und Nachteile einer Karriere, die in den 80ern bereits begann. Wir reden nochmal über die Doku von Matt Weston, der die Band in seinem Film Blokes You Can Trust abfeiert. Wir sprechen über mittlerweile super berühmte Fans der Cosmic Psychos, finden raus, wie man es so lange auf Punkbühnen aushält und was die nächsten 30 Jahre bringen. Vielleicht bei mir im Studio sind John, Dean und Ross. Hello, welcome.
Hello.
How are you doing? Where are you coming from today, Ross?
Hamburg.
Hamburg?
Yep.
So that must have been a great show. I guess the Hamburg crowd was ready for another Cosmic Psycho show, weren't they?
For Tuesday night, it was fantastic.
Cool.
It was really, really good. It was great fun.
So what are your audiences like nowadays? That's what I asked myself. There must be like some older blokes who were back with you or who were with you back in the days when you started the whole band. But I think that your music, especially nowadays, is totally interesting to the young audiences as well. So is it a mixture of both ages?
Yeah, there's definitely the older and the younger generation, which is great.
Yeah, sure.
Which is really, really good.
And sexes too. There were some women there.
Oh, yeah. Believe it or not.
What's wrong? What has changed?
I know. It's weird.
Come a bit closer.
Oh, sorry.
No, but it looks good for the future as well of the Cosmic Psychos because there's audiences that are young and sexy and fresh and still digging your music.
Well, I think it's going to be a very strange mix in the next 30 years.
Yeah, we get the Zimmer frames out.
Yeah, maybe you'll have an extra area in the room for the wheelchair people and stuff.
That'll be called the stage.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting way of thinking about that as well. So you guys made your first step in the 80s, as I already told our audience, and you self-financed the first recordings in 84. How important was doing that stuff on your own terms? How important was financing those first recordings for the history and the sound of the band as well?
Well, back then it would not have happened because no one wanted to put money up for a start. I mean, we sounded like shite. So it was important to do it because if we didn't do it, no one else would have.
Yeah.
And it created the groundwork for, you know, that total independence, I think, which has continued on.
Yeah.
In many ways.
Yeah, and that's what I thought. It was a great first step or one of the first steps because you keep in the back of your head that you can do it on your own, even though you work with Butch Vig and other great names in the following years. But if you have that thing in the back of your head that you can do it on your own, I think it's super important, especially for a band like yours and the music that you do.
Anything's possible.
Yeah, totally.
Or impossible for us.
It was way more difficult in those days. These days you can make a record yourself and do the whole thing yourself.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to know as well, isn't it? Because I think nowadays you can, as you just said, you can record yourself easily. You can promote yourself pretty easily. So actually it's a good times for the DIY punk idea, actually, right?
Yeah, exactly. The best time.
So is that something that you, would you want to have it back then in the days when?
Oh, it would have been great.
It would have been great, right?
But actually, I guess because it was more difficult, it stood out more. Yeah. Maybe.
I don't like computers, so I wouldn't change a thing.
Yeah.
He's an analog man.
Yeah, no, and that's what I read about you and your approach to that as well, because actually it's great times for the DIY punk thing, but then you said, but when you record it with a computer, it sounds too clean. It doesn't make any sense.
Or some dirty old tape that's been used 100 times before.
I know and exactly what you mean. The compression that you get out of the tape.
The warmth.
And the distortion as well, if you go a little over the top, you know.
Well, it's good distortion.
Yeah,
like a digital distortion. Oh,
it's
horrible.
Ugly. Yeah. It's really ugly. In an interview with you guys, I've read that the secret of being in a band for so long was not getting better at your instrument. That's an interesting theory. But there's got more to it, though. How important, maybe, for example, is having normal day jobs for being a band like yours and for still having fun after all these years when returning? Because the day-to-day job is a different thing. I mean, I feel that it's kind of important for you as a band that you work as a farmer, that you do the T-shirt thing, and you work as a bartender. Is it important for you guys to have the possibility to get out of the musician corner?
We probably don't have any choice anyway. You know.
Yeah. You've got to earn a living.
Yeah.
Has advantages too, because you don't get caught up in the whole world of, you know, being in a rock and roll band.
Sure.
And you still feel naughty.
Yeah.
Or a little bit cheeky. It's a bit risque being in a band.
Yeah.
Especially when you get older.
Yeah.
And you're bringing kids up.
Yeah.
And then your parents are still alive, if they're still alive, going, that's bloody stupid.
You're still playing in that stupid band.
And then your kids start saying that too. It's right.
Yeah. Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, daddy's still playing in that stupid band.
Bloody why do you have to go away for so long, daddy?
Oh, that's sad, though, then.
Yeah, that's what you get.
No, but it's a cool thing, and I really appreciate the fact that you guys were doing that stuff for such a long time. And I really can, when I try to empathize and think of rock stars' minds, that they, you know, they'll be like, we have to do a record, we have to do a tour, we have to do a record. It might be worse than being a farmer, and you know, because there's something else happening
a lot of pressure
every season sometimes. Well,
the best job in the world gets boring.
Yeah.
And the music is not our job.
Yeah.
It's never got boring.
Yeah.
You know? So we'll get pissed off and really shitty with our jobs.
Yeah.
Mm. Keep the music for fun.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that's a really good idea. Yeah. I think people can really feel the fact that you're still having fun up on stage and you're not going like, oh, there's another two we have to play just for the dollar.
And you see huge bands doing that are playing in front of massive crowds and they're just going through the motions.
Yeah. Now, before we talk a little bit more, let's listen to another song. Hier sind die Cosmic Psychos nochmal mit Can't Come In. Wir haben gerade gelernt, dass es durchaus gut sein kann, den Dayjob zu behalten, den normalen Job zu behalten. Und wir haben auch schon gelernt, dass die Audiences, die Publikümer, total vermischt sind mittlerweile bei den Cosmic Psychos, die wir jetzt hier, wie gesagt, nochmal hören mit Can't Come In. Die Cosmic Psychos mit Can't Come In auf Lux FM. Bei mir im Studio immer noch John McKeering, Dean Muller und Ross Knight, die drei Herrschaften, die die Band mittlerweile ausmachen. Wir haben schon ein bisschen geredet über die Punk-Zeiten, die sie durchlebt haben und die Punk-Zeiten, die eigentlich im Moment auch stattfinden könnten mit technischen Mitteln, die zur Selbstaufnahme ganz gut funktionieren. Jetzt haben wir aber auch schon gelernt, dass die Computeraufnahme nichts ist für die Band. Die brauchen analoges Tape und Verzerrung. Filmmaker Matt Weston, da muss ich auch nochmal drüber sprechen, über die Dokumentation, die über die Band existierte. Filmmaker Matt Weston did a documentary about you guys in 30 years of touring and I understand that you only watched it once. Ross, why is that? I was watching a documentary about the last 30 years of your life with comic figures in there representing yourself.
Sure. Look, he did a great job, but there's a lot in there that it was a part of my life that, you know, I don't know, anyway.
Uh-huh.
It upsets me some, too much of it upsets me, but half of it upsets me, half of it really brings back good memories.
Okay, cool.
But I don't want to watch a show about me. I'd rather watch something about someone else. But having said that, he did a great job, and I think he really captured the spirit of the band.
Yeah.
So that was good.
I think so too.
But I can't be bothered watching it again, really.
No, and the thing is that I kind of knew that Mudhoney especially were big fans of yours from the beginning and that Eddie Vedder was listening to your music and Kurt Cobain and all those guys were fans of your music, and I really knew that before, but when one is watching parts of the film, I mean, you guys must have gotten goosebumps when you were watching those guys, like, praising your band. Bloody did you expect that to be that? You know, I know that you could know those guys for decades now. And they must have told you in between, we love your band, but...
No, they never said
that. It was really flattering, but, you know, I don't speak for myself, but I don't put ourselves up there with those guys. So, yeah. But it's very nice for them to say that.
Yeah.
And they are great mates.
Yeah, and that's a cool thing, right? Yeah,
that's really cool.
That's another cool thing for you to go on a tour vacation kind of, stop the farmer job, and then you go to Seattle and all the super famous guys are hugging you and they'd be like, yeah, the Cosmic Psychos are back.
But then again, it's for us, it's just exciting to come to Berlin and catch up with friends that that have been coming to see the band for the last 25 years too. Yeah. So every tour we do is all about catching up with friends.
Yeah, that's a good thing. And I bet that you do like your position, the band's position that you have right now, much more than being on the other side, than being the Eddie Vedder who goes like, yeah, Pearl Jam, they were a major influence to our first super successful record, right? You like that position more, don't you?
Well, I think that maybe... Exactly. I'm just thinking of fast cars and... Project.
Yeah, there's advantages to being a super successful
player. There's a lot of pressure on those blokes.
Yeah, a lot of pressure.
There's a lot of pressure on a guy like that guy.
Yeah,
and I mean, he's got to worry about, he can't walk down the street.
Yeah, that's what I think.
He can't go into a shop and buy a beer.
That's what I always think when I think of super famous people. They must live a life like being in jail or something.
Yeah, but actually he is one man that...
Eddie.
Yep, that... It's got a way that he's just such a normal guy.
True, true. When they were playing here a few years ago and the Black Keys opened for them, I saw Eddie watching the Black Keys show that happened at night after the Pearl Jam show, and he was standing right in the middle of the audience. Yeah. He had a bodyguard with him, but he didn't tell them to keep the people away. So it was really, that's exactly how you said.
Yeah. He
was
and he loves music.
Yeah, he's a guy of us, kind of. You
exactly.
Know?
That's he's the cool just thing. One of us. And actually, the whole band's pretty cool, too.
Yeah, but I mean, they're an exception, I think,
exception to the world, to the rule.
Another reason to be glad about the band Pearl Jam as well, I'd say. So you've released Glorious Bastards in 2011, and then there's a live record called I Love My Tractor that came out in 2013. Do you have plans to put out some new material? Have you been to the studio? Because I know that you're fast recorders, actually.
We're getting ready.
Ready.
We're ready
to go. We just need get this tour over with, and then we're going to record as soon as we get home.
Mm. So you're going to record with Lindsay Gravina again?
We might be coming to Utrecht in Holland to record.
Oh wow! Awesome.
Well, Sylvia, our sound engineer and tour manager since 1993, really knows the sound of the band. So we're thinking that maybe let's do something different and let's come and. Do something with Sylvia.
We'll give her a shot.
Yeah. Sounds good to me. Sounds good to me. And I really hope that you're going to be able to get the Cosmic Psycho sound back on tape again, because that's where it's going to land,
easy,
right? It's
going to
be on tape.
It just goes.
Okay, cool. So, I wish you the best of luck for the show tonight and for the next recordings and for the next 30 years, maybe?
Next 30 years.
Yeah. On you, mate. We'll see you here soon. You'll be grey then.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter.
We'll have no hair at all.
It starts in the beard already. But if you want to come back to visit us, you know where we are right now. Please, you've been beautiful guests, and I want to have you back as soon as possible.
Good on you, mate.
If you finish the record and you're going to come back for another part of the tour, please come and visit us.
I'd love to.
Again.
And thanks for the beer.
Yeah, de nada, compadre.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Bye-bye.
Ah, I forgot something. I can give away some tickets for tonight's show. Wer also ins Crystal gehen möchte zu den Cosmic Psychos, der ruft mich jetzt an.